The dawn is here in the AFC. Is it going to be in Buffalo? Is it going to be in Kansas City? Is somebody else coming for both of them? We're going to find out today as Joe Marino and I go over what you need to know in Bills Mafia and Chiefs Kingdom. Let's get into it. This is going to be fun. We haven't done this yet. Joe Marino of Draft Network and Locked On Bills. I'm Brian Tracy of Locked On Chiefs and Locked On NFL Draft. How are you, Joe?
Brian, I'm doing good, man. And we talked back at the Senior Bowl. We knew we needed to hook up at some point before the season and talk about these two teams. And, you know, it's a couple years now where these games have been very meaningful. The Chiefs ended the Bills season 2 years in a row. You know, Bills Mafia is not liking that too much. And, you know, we've got to get to the bottom of this because I thought there was a gap in 2020. The Chiefs are the better team in 2020. But 2021, it was, you know, week six was a little different. And, you know, 13 right. seconds means something a little different in Kansas City than it does in Western New York. So, you know, look, it's really it's a fun budding rivalry. I think there's a lot of great mutual respect. That's what I love about it. Right. I think Bills fans know what Chiefs fans are about. Chiefs fans know what Bills fans are about. And the passion that you can feel through both fan bases is really, really healthy. And I think there's a lot of mutual respect and just two great competitive teams. But so far, the Chiefs are the ones that are taking the dubs in the playoffs. And so obviously the Bills would like to have a different result this year and maybe bring Kansas City to Buffalo this time around.
Well, hey, that might be worth it right there. And I have a prediction and actually a comment. We'll talk about that later in the show about what I think should have happened last year. But folks, thanks for making us your first listen. Whether you are listening on Locked On Bills or on Locked On Chiefs, you're getting the same thing because we're together today. So we appreciate that. Make sure you check out the whole network for your next listen. There's all kinds of shows there. It's your team every day for free on every platform, whether I know about it or not. It's amazing where this show shows up that I don't even understand. That's all right. But we're going to get into it. And I want to start because for a guy that watches the Bills team from afar, I am a McDermott fan. I have to tell you, I'm a defense first kind of guy. So I dig the whole concept. But the biggest question is, how do you deal with the departure of Dable? What is this offense going to become, Joe?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the offense is going to look pretty similar to the way it has. I mean, Ken Dorsey, the new offensive coordinator, was the Bills quarterbacks coach for the last 3 years. This was the guy Josh Allen said, I want Ken Dorsey, came out in the media and put it out there. And the Bills listened to him, unlike, you know, maybe some other teams, maybe that team in Green Bay. This one listens to their franchise quarterback, and he got his guy. And it made sense. I think it was very natural opportunity. Now you wonder about a first-year offensive coordinator, first-time play caller, taking over an offense like the Bills with Josh Allen, with the expectations. But that chemistry is there, right? They're not going to have to spend any time learning each other or their personalities or learning what Dorsey likes and what Josh Allen likes. There's that foundation that's been there for the last three seasons, and now it's just kind of expanding to this new role. And so while I do think it's a very worthwhile discussion point because it is a new offensive coordinator, I think it's a lot different than if they were to bring in an outside hire to take over where you have a very familiar face there and Ken Dorsey assuming the reins here of this Bills offense.
Is it fair to say that, like Mahomes went through in the last couple of years, where he's gotten more control at the line of scrimmage, is it that kind of relationship going from quarterback coach to coordinator is different? So does Josh get more of a on-the-spot say, maybe?
I think everything that I've gathered from the Bills and Josh Allen is that the ownership that Josh Allen has in everything that happens with this football team is very apparent. I think, you know, Josh Allen, I wouldn't say, you know, like Brandon Bean's a GM, Sean McDermott's a head coach, that next guy's Josh Allen, right? And so he has the free range at the line of scrimmage. He's moving guys around. Like, I don't think any of that's ever going to be different. I think Josh has kind of gotten to that level as a player and from a football intelligence perspective and as just a leader and a guy that is, you know, he's that guy for this offense, just like, you know, Pat Mahomes is for that Chiefs offense. And so I think, you know, this is very much the Josh Allen show. And he's that guy.
Well, and I think they both teams, I mean, these are two of the hottest young GMs in the league. I think they both do an outstanding job of giving their quarterbacks what they need in order to support them. My question is, I think both of these guys, both Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, both need more support from the run game. Is this something where the Bills might run more out of under center, where they might use a little bit more power? Can they give him more protection and help?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to go with this conversation, Ryan. And I'm excited to see what the Bills' run game looks like this year because there's well, I mean, I've been at camp. I've seen preseason games. This is going to be a zone rushing offense, which is a shift because under Brian Daboll, it was a multiple run scheme where they would sometimes be a gap heavy run scheme, sometimes be a zone heavy run scheme. And that was great in theory, but the problem is they didn't do either particularly well. And they had this mixed match group of offensive linemen, some that you would say that's a gap blocker, some that you would say is a zone blocker. Well, they've really kind of gotten on the same page and brought in a very athletic offensive line. And, you know, Aaron Cromer, one of the best offensive line coaches in the game, now running this Bills offensive line, and his influence on the run scheme will be pretty apparent. You kind of know what he's come from as a zone rushing offense. And so, you know, I think those influences are going to play into it. So offensive line wise, I think with Roger Saffold, the Pro Bowler from last year, coming in and playing left guard, the development of Orion Bates at right guard, Spencer Brown, who earned starting, you know, he's a starter at right tackle week four last year. You know, he should be even better this season. So I think you have an athletic offensive line that's better coached and has an actual identity with what they want to be as a run scheme. And they added James Cook, a second round pick out of Georgia. Devin Singletary played a lot better late in the season last year. So I think their talent is better at running back. Their talent is better on the offensive line. I think they have a better plan to be able to work all this together to be a more consistent rushing offense. But yeah, I think the more you can kind of take off of Josh Allen, the better, right? I mean, Josh can carry a team, but at some point it would be nice to have a little bit more for him to be able to lean on instead of him having to do everything for the offense.
Well, and it's funny when you talk about being more zone oriented, that brings Chiefs fans back to the fact that, hey, we know your center too. Like, you have maybe the ultimate zone center in this league. It's funny how the two teams are parallel. Not only are their quarterbacks the same, but having those level of center play to kind of anchor your whole offensive line, I think that makes that transition easier, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no question about it. I will talk about Creed Humphrey. That guy's a stud, man. What a football player. Bills fans wish they would have picked him in the second round over Boogie Basham. I think everybody wished they would have picked Creed Humphrey with what he did as a rookie. But yeah, Mitch Morse, Chiefs fans know him well. Man, just the range that he has is special, right? Just obviously lateral quickness, but when he gets out on the move, right, the longer pulls, climbing to the second level, man, this guy's special. The control that he has, the movement skills, just a natural feel for angles and getting to his landmarks. I mean, he's awesome, and that gives you so much opportunity with some of the pin and pull stuff. You know, you can get him going off tackle. It opens up a lot. Now, maybe he's not the most dynamic drive blocker or people mover, but you'll trade that off for the range and what he gives you as a pass blocker all day long. And, of course, just the football intelligence, right? He's on the same page with Josh Allen, and that allows them to really get the offense in sync and you know, make sure that front five is doing what they're supposed to do.
Now, to go with it, last thing I need to know, there's weapons in Buffalo. We know the big ones, but just set that all aside for a second and tell me about my guy, Shakir, because I was really high on him coming out. He looked kind of hot the first week. Is that real or is it a smokescreen?
Yeah, Ryan, I know you're a draft guy as well, and I've been telling Bills Mafia on Locked On Bills that if the Bills picked him in the third round, I wouldn't have blinked an eye. Like, that's where I had him valued. I thought he was a perfectly fine day two wide receiver. To get him in the fifth round was crazy to me. And obviously, he had a strong showing against the Colts in the preseason, which correlates with what we've seen and heard throughout training camp. And I don't know that he's going to be a top three receiver for this offense this year because I think that's pretty well established. But can he be the wide receiver for punt returner and kind of have a year to incubate in this offense and maybe be a guy that's primed for a more prominent role in 2024 and beyond?
I'm looking forward to it. I was big on him and I had him on the same day as you. So that's nice to hear because I need a little confirmation as well. Hey, it always goes well. Folks, we're going to talk more about the guys that are golf partners now. I think it's official. We have to go with that. And who are some other guys that might push them a little bit as well as bring their teams along for the ride? That we'll do that coming up. But I got to tell you, as we gear up for fall, you need to get all the right people on your team and working in concert with you. Get it all firing on all cylinders and jobs make it easier to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free with LinkedIn. You can create a job post in minutes and get the kind of resource that can help you along your path. Reach your network and beyond the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates that just have the skill sets that you're looking for and the experience that you can quickly prioritize. And so you can get the interview and the hire done and get on your way. LinkedIn Jobs helps you with the candidates that you want to talk to faster. Bottom line, did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL, all one word. That's LinkedIn for you. Terms and conditions apply, but check them out. I think you guys are going to dig it.
Ryan, the big conversation about the Kansas City Chiefs is this team now without Tyreek Hill. And I feel like the narratives are just everywhere with this. And Bills Mafia has to live this because you send him to the AFC East. Now he's an even bigger problem now in terms of having to play him in the regular season twice a year.
Sorry, guys.
Can you set the record straight here? What is the real impact to this Chiefs offense losing Tyreek Hill, and what does that mean for Patrick Mahomes, and how does this thing evolve moving forward?
It's a chess game, and quite frankly, I think the biggest effect on this offense is that you take away the crutch. This was something that whenever something didn't go well, you didn't like your first read, Mahomes was able to tuck it, buy some time, and wait for Tyreek to do something special. And it was consistent, and it was there. And it was a 1-2 read between he and Travis Kelce. Everything else from that was secondary. So while I think you're going to be better off facing Tyreek in his current home rather than this one, but, you know, it does make a big difference. For me, the offense has to go back to what it was when Patrick first took over. When Alex Smith was this quarterback, you didn't have that one deep threat, that 1-2 read high to low and go from there. You had to spread the ball around. You had to distribute. You had to be a mailman. And that's what Patrick Mahomes has to go back to. The difference is he doesn't necessarily have to be looking in the direction when he wants to go to the mailman in the other direction. So it kind of enlightens the field. It spreads the field out horizontally. I think that's important for Patrick's game and what the Chiefs offense can do.
How does it, but here's the thing. Like I'm hearing some people saying that this is going to be potentially a good thing for Patrick Mahomes because maybe he could play within structure a little bit more. And you saw some of the drifting in the pocket and, you know, just kind of evolving last year, a lot more quick game as opposed to some of the vertical stuff. Like, are you buying into this belief that this can help Pat play on schedule with more consistency because he doesn't have that crutch? Like, are you believing that? Are the Chiefs a better team without Tyreek Hill?
No, you can't say that they're a better team. There's no way around that. And I don't care if you're a huge Juju fan or MVS is your guy or whatever you're looking for. You can't say that. But it does force Patrick into an evolution for himself. Mm-hmm. And Patrick will tell you there are times that he just held the ball too long. He wouldn't come off of his read. And it's not that he's got to like change the way that he does it or play more in structure. His best plays are out of structure. We all know that. So it is more about offering him more components that can beat their matchup and giving him more places to go so that he doesn't have to turn into a magic man and try to throw a pass when he's, you know, horizontal the ground 3 feet off. It makes life difficult. And so I do think that he will improve in some of the read structure pre-snap, his quicker decision-making. I think he's got to come to his third and fourth reads more often than he ever has. But I can't say the offense is better without Tyreek Hill.
Got to be excited about this middle, this interior three of this offensive line, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. Is there a better group in the league? I don't think so. I think any team in the world would say, yeah, we'll take that over what we have, especially those two young studs in Smith and Humphrey, and Tooney's a phenomenal football player. But, you know, we talked about the run game and getting contributions from running backs with the Bills, and I'd like to kind of ask you the same thing here with, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire entering, what is it, year three for him. Mm-hmm. Jerick McKinnon, some juice at the end of last season. Curious to see what he does. And you know, Isaiah Pacheco is a buzzy name coming out of camp. And then, of course, Ronald Jones coming over from Tampa, but doesn't sound like things have gone well there. What are you expecting from this Chiefs rushing offense and some of those ancillary components of this offense around Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce and what we expect there?
I hope that it gives Andy a read to call more run plays, to tell you the truth, because it's frustrating when you have this offensive line who, more so than any line that they've had in, I don't know, five seasons, is geared to move people out of the way and run the ball. But it's Andy Reid, so you're not going to get more than 38% run call percentage no matter what. I'd be ecstatic if it went back up to that. Last year it was 31.8. That just isn't enough to really get anyone like Clyde, I think, the rhythm that he needs. Clyde was also injured the last couple of seasons. It was really low-key. They didn't really share it around. He had surgery in the offseason, a couple things straightened out. So you hope that this is his springboard to get to his potential. If not, they have McKinnon that I thought really was used well in the playoffs, and I think they were very mm-hmm. happy with his performance. So you have him as a backup, but you can't rely on him as a down-to-down backup. That's hey, hold on to him till January and hope that he's ready to spring. That's the way that that goes. The really interesting thing is Isaiah Pacheco is a guy that we both had on our list, I'm sure. I'm guessing you watched a whole lot more film on him because I didn't watch his film because I don't watch running backs that I think are going to go in the seventh round or UDFAs. The kid has I think he looked for contact too much in college, and he's really worked on that aspect of his game in using his contact balance to actually get away from people and get further down the field. And that's been kind of a revolution for him. He's running strong. He's running well. And he's got that quickness that I think that they've been missing from a lot of guys. Clyde's got it in the hole, but when you get outside and he's got to actually try to accelerate, it makes things difficult. So I think that there's a 1-2 punch there. And so the question will be, does Rojo have anything left? Because he's a guy who played a fairly significant role. I mean, people would argue probably in Tampa Bay, but like to have not only an older player, but a young buck, both of them beat him out is something that we're watching very closely to see what it's going to come down to when the roster's all said and done. Thank the Lord they keep Mike Burton. They have a fullback on this roster, so we're happy.
Ryan, you said something there that piqued my curiosity, and I want to see how you respond to this, because you mentioned kind of this 38% of the time the Chiefs run the football. And I could tell you this, and maybe it's different without Tyreek Hill, but as an opposing team, nothing makes me happier than the Chiefs running the football, because I think anytime Patrick Mahomes is not dropping back to pass, that's a win for the opposition. Well, I certainly feel that way. And I can get behind getting, you know, taking something off, having a run game that you can lean in on, you know, when necessary. But do you really want that run percentage to go up at the expense of taking away passing plays from Patrick Mahomes?
I really, really do. I think if you see the average depth of target for Patrick come back by 2 yards, what you've been able to do by running the ball is emphasize the middle layer, because you don't have Tyreek over the top now. The sweet spot, whether it's MBS from the X, Kelsey out of his role, wherever he happens to line up that route. But your depth of where you're trying to move the ball is not as deep as it was. You need to move those linebackers out of there. You need to pull a safety out of the way, in my opinion. The game for the Kansas City Chiefs has to become more centralized between the hashes, and it's got to be more between the 8 and the 18-yard line, not trying to push for that 20 and that 25. And so I think by running the ball, you pull the linebackers down, you artificially get yourself a little bit more breathing room in there, and that's what I'm looking for. Now, I'm not crazy. I'm not saying run the ball 50-50, but if you went from 31.8 to 34%, I'd be happy as a clam, and I think it would help as well.
I hear what you're saying. I wanted to hear the response here, because it's an interesting dynamic. I think if I said that on my podcast, Bill's Mafia would be after me. You know, yeah. We want all the Josh Allen passing attempts we can get. But I certainly understand what you're saying there. Maybe there's an efficiency component in terms of being more explosive in the passing game that would come with having a more stable rushing offense. So I certainly feel like I understand where you're coming from there. I do want to talk about the Chiefs defense a little bit, and man, I like a lot of this young talent. I mean, I really do. George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie, a couple first round picks. But I mean, what Willie Gay and Nick Bolton showed late in the season, I thought, I mean, goodness gracious, Bolton was a monster down the stretch. Brian Cook, a safety that I like out of Cincinnati. Josh Williams, a really physical, like fits the Chiefs mold at corner. And I know that, you know, there's some versatility there. I like this group. Carlos Dunlap, I think, is a super underrated addition to this team. What are you expecting from this defense? When you look over this unit, like, where do you think it's going to be strong? But also, where are some of those question marks? I know that there's some veterans lost. Tyrann Mathieu's no longer at safety. So, like, where's the give and take with this Chiefs defense right now based on your expectations?
You know, the big question, and this has been a puzzle they've been putting together right up until recently with the acquisition of Dunlap, right, was how are you going to get to the passer? It's been a problem. Frank Clark's come in, by our eye, at least 15, 20 pounds lighter. He does have more explosiveness back, and his first step is all the way to his third step. He's getting the corner on Orlando Brown better than he ever has. And that's a measuring stick that you have to use because of Orlando's length. It helps gauge where Frank is. And you do feel optimistic about that. But a lot is riding on Karlaftis. He's got to come along. And now that he has two mentors in both Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap, but I do feel better about the speed of his development. He worked on his body quite a bit over the summer. He trained with Bobby Stoop, who trains Patrick Mahomes, in a lot of lateral agility, trying to get a little bit more bend, a little ankle flexion. You know, we all know those things can change, but it's not dramatic. I think the big thing that I noticed over his college film is that he's playing with more dramatic and dynamic pad levels, and I think that will help him make the transition. They just brought in Danny Shelton just to make sure that they can't have anybody just run the gaps all day long on them and force them out of some of those sets. So I think by having a better rotation at tackle, it keeps Chris Jones a little bit healthier, especially when teams come to town and do want to run the ball, and you can run Nadi and Shelton on some downs, give Chris a little oomph there. And then it's really got to be about the development. Colin Saunders, Turk Wharton, they have to come along and provide more pass rush from the tackle position. If they do that and then get after the quarterback better, which I'm not convinced of yet. It's a work in progress. So it could end up being something that helps them along, could end up being one of their weaknesses. I think at linebacker, they feel safe. I think Willie Gay's been great in camp to this point. He's picked off Patrick Mahomes in practice more than anybody else. So that's a significant stat in my mind. And then it's the question mark. Like you mentioned, Brian Cook, I think he's going to be the X factor for this defense as a rookie, because he, Juan Thornhill, and Justin Reed, when they're not kicking field goals, have decided that they're going to become interchangeable. And that's the thing that Spags wants the most, mm-hmm. disguise everything and send everybody from weird spots. That helps. They're going to start two rookies is the way it looks. Unless Rashad Fenton can come back 100% healthy. He's practiced for 2 days. So I'm not counting that out yet, but I'm not 100% either. Josh Williams is running as the four, the guy that you mentioned. And so I think with Trent McDuffie easily on the board with L'Jarius Sneed, you feel like the secondary is kind of set, but it's not set in stone. So I think that is one of the question marks.
Tell you what, you mentioned Colin Saunders, man. I loved watching him in college. He's a really fun player at the Senior Bowl as well. I know Jerron Reed no longer in the mix here, but I would love, just as a Colin Saunders fan, like I'm rooting for him and hope that he winds up being an answer for Kansas City. We want to talk about the AFC landscape here in just a moment. Obviously, a couple of teams that many people to be at the top of the conference. Well, you know, Cincinnati Bengals had something to say about that last year, and there's other good teams as well. We're going to talk about them here in just a moment. But first, you're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. You kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, Ryan, let's talk about this AFC landscape. And AFC West has gone crazy, right? I mean, that's been the talk of this offseason. It's gone crazy. They've had it, my guy. I mean, the Chiefs, how many years in a row have they won it? Six, seven times in a row?
Six, yeah. It's
they've
tough.
Had it. They've had it. What do you think? How do you stack up these teams? Is the competition real out there?
The competition is real. Is it real enough to compete with the Chiefs? I'm not so convinced. The Chargers look like they're going to be able to do it. I think Derwin is going to have a good season, although it's going to be harder for him carrying around all that cash in his pocket. So maybe he'll slow down. I don't know. But you get a quarterback like Russ Wilson coming into the division on a team that does have some target weapons that I think are on the up. They can run the ball. Offensive line isn't exactly stout, so they have some question marks. They have some options on defense, but I don't think they're ready to really compete for the division title. It really comes down to the Chargers and Chiefs for me. And in the end, I'm not terribly concerned about that. I'm certainly not staying up nights of worrying about it like I am about the Bills and Josh and maybe even those Tiger Cats out there somewhere. But, you know, there's things that need to be done.
No love for the Raiders. Playoff team from last year. New coaching staff. I mean, is it just the trenches? Because if you just say, hey, yeah, I like what they have, but their O-line and their D-line in terms of interior, not good enough. Like, I can accept that. But, I mean, they were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they were, barely. And ask the Charger fans how they feel about that, because that was very, very close. But, no, I mean, you got 2.2 seconds for Carr to get that ball out before all kinds of stuff is raining down on him. And as good as Davante Adams is, and you got to like Waller as well. Like, you have to enjoy the weapons, but I think that limits what the offense can do pretty severely. And if you're not going to be a buckle it down and run the ball like you mean it kind of team, which I don't buy from Josh McDaniels, I don't know how successful it can be. Obviously, that you have good pass rushers. I think Max Crosby is an emerging, I mean, talent isn't even the right word, right? I mean, this is impressive.
Star. Yeah. He's a star.
I mean, superstar.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's aspects to that game. But when it comes down to the end, winning ball games, which I expect a lot of the AFC West games to be tighter this year, I don't think the outcomes necessarily shift that much.
Let me ask you one more question here. You mentioned them, the Tiger Cats, Bengals. I mean, what a weird couple games last year against KC. I mean, I remember being in Vegas for the Shrine game and I'm watching the AFC Championship game and like, okay, I halftime and then the rest of the game happened. I mean, I'm not here to pour salt on Chiefs fans. I mean, I have nothing but respect for Kansas City. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the game. I love Andy Reid. Like, I'm not here to cast shade on anything that's happened with the Chiefs. I mean, I still think they're the kings of the AFC until someone else takes it from them. But I mean, what's up with Cincy, man? Like, what do you have to say about them and their staying power at the top of this conference?
That's the big question. Like, kudos to them. They got it done. I think they took advantage of their matchups and they were able to get some great play out of some good players. Do I think that some players overachieved and there's a return to regression there a little bit to the median? I do. I think honestly, and Bengals fans, if you are listening to this on one of our feeds, you probably want to turn this off right now. I think if it goes down the other way and the 13-second gate comes out with the Bills on top, right, the Bills go to that Super Bowl.
We know.
Okay.
So, we know.
But outside of Buffalo, I just say it. I concur, right, and that's what I see. And I think that's what it is. It's a matchup-based game. That's what ate the Chiefs in the end. But I do think that they have a solid roster. I think they can compete. I think the Ravens might have something to say about it, though. I think they might have more competition. Not that the Bills don't. I'm really interested to see what you think of the Dolphins and the competition in the East. Mm. But I think the Bengals are going to be in it. But I do still feel that the best two teams in this AFC are the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. I certainly will. But, man, it's like it's hard. It feels weird. Just like the Bengals did it. They beat the Chiefs twice. They're the representatives from the AFC. We're sitting over here talking like we're the kings. You know, I mean, certainly – the Bills haven't won the AFC since 1993. Like I certainly understand that. There's certainly a capableness, right? I don't think anybody looks at this team over the last 2 years and doesn't say that they're good enough to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But I do think this is a Bills and Chiefs conversation, but I just felt weird leaving them off since they just went to the Super Bowl. And let's be honest, really probably had a reasonable claim to win that game.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing too. We're talking about three premier young quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Well, I left one out because he plays in the AFC West as well. And if they don't get riddled by injuries this year, what the Chargers have in Justin Herbert, I think, man, is special, right in that echelon with Burrow and Allen and Mahomes, yeah, right?
Special player.
It could be a four-man shootout with these four teams. But to get there, you got to get to the East. So how does it look for the Bills? Is it smoother sailing this year? I don't know how you feel about your division.
Well, what's interesting is – I mean, the Jets have been at the bottom of this division for a long time. I'm not considering them to be a threat. Right. New England, very much like the Raiders, they were a playoff team last year. Ryan, if they get back to the playoffs, I'll be shocked. I mean, offensively, this team is in shambles. Bill Belichick has literally exhausted his Rolodex and has appointed Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to run their offense. It sounds like, I can't say the word, but it sounds really bad based on the reports. Function issues, like they just can't function, right? I don't like what they have at receiver. The O-line is not what it's been. I think defensively, this is the worst talent that Bill Belichick has ever had. Like if this team is a real threat, then I'll be really surprised. I really will. I think Mac Jones is a limited quarterback. I just don't see it for that team. You know, I just don't.
If Miami's, it's because Bailey Zappe has to play and he resurrects the whole thing. Right. I'm just telling you.
Brother. Miami's the weird team, right? Like,
right.
Defensively, they're really good. They kept their staff, right? Their Josh Boyer's back as a D coordinator. They added Melvin Ingram. They added Channing Tindall. They've got some young developing players. Javon Holland looks like a star at safety. Jalen Phillips, like, really good team on defense. And now you have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, who, what, he catch 100 balls last year, a better offensive line with Teron Armstead and Connor Williams, better running game situation with Chase Edmonds and Sony Michel, and then obviously just the Shanahan influence through Mike McDaniel. It's scheme-wise, it's going to be good. You know, how good's Tua going to be, right? That's what it comes down to. Well, he'll have the best opportunity, right, in a very quarterback-friendly system with dynamic weapons with an offensive line. It's all right there for him. You know, like, has Miami paid their dues? Well, I mean, they've won 19 games over the last two seasons. That's in the top 10 of the league. Most people don't realize that. They just haven't made to the playoffs. They're a 10-win team and didn't make the playoffs. You know, so they're such a wild card to me. Like, I don't know what to expect from Miami. Could they win 8 games? Wouldn't surprise me. Could they push for 11? Wouldn't surprise me. They're the real X factor. That's the team. If you think the Bills, if I were to say, hey, the Bills have competition in the AFC East, Right now, I think it's Miami, but then you kind of just wonder, like, is Tua that guy that can really make some noise here? The Bills have lost one game in the division over the last 2 years, and it was courtesy of a hurricane in Western New York where, you know, the Bills missed field goals and dropped touchdown passes and lost to Mac Jones because he threw the ball three times and they ran it 50-something times. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's taken for the Bills to lose a game in the division. So it's theirs until somebody takes it, but I don't see anybody coming close except for Miami, who the Bills have won seven games in a row against.
So is it that the Bills see it that way too? Like, when we talk about scheduling, I think these our two teams are playing what, week five, is it, I think?
Week six? Like that, yeah. Somewhere in there, yeah.
So outside of that, obviously that's a prime time matchup. But is it for the Bills, is it that they're circling those games against the Dolphins? They feel that that is their tripping point, not only for the division, but making sure that they springboard to compete for the AFC?
I would think so. I mean, you got to win your division first. That's how you play home playoff games. It's your easiest path to the postseason. The Bills have won it the last 2 years. Like I mentioned, they're, what, 11-1 the last two seasons in the division. So I think they're very – I mean, they're the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. That means they're clearly the favorites to win the AFC East. But you got to take care of your business, right? You can't just sit here in August and it just happens, right? You know, the Bills lost to the Jaguars last year. Like, things like that happen, right? You got to go out there and do it. So hopefully the Bills are better for what they went through last year. Kind of, that 3-5 stretch in the middle of the year was disappointing. But they turned it on, and certainly expectations are high for this year.
I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to getting back with you when we're closer to that game. And we'll just have to keep an eye on the rest of the AFC, folks. Make sure that you get subbed and listen to all the other shows. Thanks for making us your first listen today, and check out the other feed. Oh, wait, you'll hear the same thing today on the Bills and the Chiefs show. So check out another show. Locked On NFL is crushing, and you want to check out the fantasy streams. For Joe Marino and Locked On Bills, I'm Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back with you tomorrow.